Blog Talk Radio.
Hotep, you've got your Omega 7 live coming to you straight from my living room. I am your advocate, the one you need. I am your advisor, the one you want, and I am your emperor. Can I get a drum roll, please, ladies and gentlemen? Wait and listen for the emperor to get a drum roll. Thank you for joining us this evening. Our new segment. This is the talking room. This is the talking cure segment. And this is the care to read room. And I'd like to greet each and every one of you for joining us here on this Monday. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here in the Talking Care room. We are about to start the Talking Care. And during the Talking Care, we basically are doing a spiritual ritual. We'd like to welcome each and every one of you to our new segment and our new segment for this particular month. And throughout the month, we will be focusing in on family and consumer science. But this topic is if financial literacy is our solution to college. Is it an alternative to college? Do we need to take courses, webinars, and seminars on financial literacy? And is our community financially illiterate and bankrupt? And do we need to start our children off early in life learning about financial income, how to handle funds, and how to invest their funds? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, when your student goes off to college, before he goes, he needs to have an orientation in how to handle money, because he will be getting those refunds from the Pell Grant and from some of his unsubsidized loans and subsidized. So what is he going to do with a large sum of $2,000 when mother has never given him that kind of money before? How does he handle that, and what does she do when she gets the refund check? Does she run out and buy a brand new car or an expensive piece of jewelry, or do they go out and splurge the money? They have to be taught, ladies and gentlemen, and that's what we're here for. Our whole segment of this month is focused not only on consumer science, but we are partnering with Junior Achievement. Junior Achievement has been around for many, many years. We are going to become a partner permanently with Junior Achievement because on this show we intend to keep a segment that will focus in on dealing with money and economic status. We know that our dollar doesn't circulate enough in our African-American community, so we are going to have to employ our community, our African tribe, how to work with their children from kindergarten all the way up until they transition out on their own with how to handle bank accounts, custodian accounts, how to also be a part of the stock option plan, and how to get vested in companies while they're working these jobs. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to cover all of that information, and we're going to explain to you that your children can learn how to manage money. Your children are natural managers. You give them something, they will divide it in many places, and they will try to fragment it out. So they're natural managers. You just have to take those skills and direct them. And that's what we're going to be doing today, ladies and gentlemen, directing those skills. Now, as you notice on our program, we have listed Attorney Lowes. Attorney Lowes probably will be with us next week along with Attorney Holmes, and they're going to confirm their date and time. Yes, we do have Attorney at Law on our agenda. However, they're busy getting their schedules together so that they can be with us on a regular basis permanently. That's right. Omi thinks it's very important to have a portion of this segment of the 14 areas of parent information or family life. One of them is law. That's right. You cannot have anything go on in society without policies and law and regulation. So therefore, we're going to show our community family the benefit of having someone that is of the legal persuasion in your corner. You cannot afford not to have a good accountant or a good attorney. And we intend to give these attorneys opportunities to market their business, to solicit to you while they come and give us Q&A and answer our questions that can be answered over the phone. However, those complicated questions, you will have to set up office hours with that attorney. Now, so far, we have three attorneys that will be participating with us. Now, isn't that great? That gives us a little clout. That gives us a little power. Now, we said we was going to get over the greenhouse. We said that we're going to take that knowledge and use it now that we have power. Now, what does that mean? You need an attorney. You could call in here and inquire about attorneys with specialties and ask if they're available to take your case under a low fee. Now, we're not going to just have them on here overcharging people. They're going to have to come on and answer questions. And if they should retain, if you should retain them, they're going to have to lower their fees for you in order to be on this show. Now, will Omi be working in this capacity? Possibly so. I may be working with them and doing some of the research and the legwork and the interviewing. So we have a deal. That's right. It's important. Because when you go in these courtrooms, you better not go in there saying your lawyer's on his way, and then you end up standing there and you find out you're in pro se, and you didn't intend to be because you are not being properly represented. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever you go in a court of law, and if you tell the judge that you have representation and the judge doesn't show up, that judge must give you a continuance. He cannot proceed with that case and talk to you and have you represent yourself and swear you in. It's illegal because that's not proper representation. They have to offer you a public defender if you cannot afford an attorney on your own. And if you say you are not representing yourself, they can't have you standing there swearing in, talking to the judge, representing yourself. Now, those of you who are out there on probation, you need to really call in because we're going to be talking about probation. How do you violate probation? Now, I'm going to talk about that today. And we're going to stop now and we're going to bring in our spiritual corner where we go and do our talking cure. We can't do anything until we call the spirits and accustomedly call the spirits so that we set the house in order. The spirits will lead us and they will guide us. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're going right to our talking cure. And I know that some of you missed some of the songs that we had and the music that we used to use for our talking cue. Hold up. We're going to find that song, and we're going to bring that song right back to you, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't given up that song, and we will be listening to that song. So just bear with me. We've got a lot of new music in here, and I don't want to give you the wrong music. But let me just go to station identification, and then I'll find that music while we're on station identification. Let me call BJ so he can take me down the road. Come on, BJ, take me down the road. Here we go. Got to go find some music. I'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned.
My old music promised me when she died, said he'd be so long. Hey, come on.
Power of faith, ladies and gentlemen, that allows me to come on these airways to speak to you from day to day. It's nothing else but the power and the grace of God. So bear with us as we come to you with a sanctimonious prayer and calling you to order. We call you to order. Call to prayer. Come to prayer. This is call to order. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't already stood on your feet, please stand to your feet. We stand to our feet with our hands open, expecting to receive with our hands faced up and calling others to prayer to come and pray. Please come and sit with us, taking deep breaths, breathing in and out, believing that what we say in the spirit will come to pass in the spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, as you come to order for prayer, I tell you that it is the power of faith that gives me the strength to go on. Listen to the power of faith.
Every day, from the moment I wake, there are thoughts that stay on my mind. Is there really a way to keep faith? Our hearts, and it seems that our lives
Yes, yes, people, our faith is strong. And it is our ancestor's song. We cannot do anything except for stand on the shoulders of our ancestors. We're standing to our feet, ladies and gentlemen. And as you listen to I Am Free, go into the spirit, taking deep breaths, breathing in and out, breathing in and out. Taking deep breaths now, breathing in and out, ladies and gentlemen. As you take the deep breaths, breathing in and out, we can begin to see that God has given us the spirit to believe for things that we can't see. And if you have, ladies and gentlemen, been frivolous in the past and afraid to ask God for something, now is the time to ask God for those things you need. Let those things be manifested in the natural and come to life. As we take deep breaths, breathing in and out, we ask God to hear our prayers. Father God, as we bow our heads before you, we ask that you will be mindful of the fact that you told us to remind you of our prayer, your prayers and blessings to us. You told us to remind you of the request that we wanted to make. You said to remind you so that you can watch over your word, Father. Now we're asking you to watch over your word, to perfect it. As we begin to do the work of an evangelist, lead us, Lord, and guide us and give us the words to say. I release my vocal cords to you, Lord, that you may use them as you will, that you may lead and guide me to speak the things that you would have me to say. And Father God, as I lead and guide, help me to be sensitive to the Spirit so that I will be prompted to be moved by the Spirit. Spirit, you're welcome here today. And as we pour the libation to the east and to the west, we pour libations to the east and we say Ashe. We pour libation to the west and we say Ashe. We pour libations to the south and we say Ashe. We pour libations to the north and we say Ashe. I set a glass of water in front for my father and I say Ashe. I set a glass of water for my mother's spirit and I say Ashe. I light the candle for my mother's spirit so that she may be able to have a guiding light to lead her right back home to me. I set a candle for my father's spirit that he may not be in the dark stumbling around, but he might be able to find his direction and find his way back home to unite himself with the family. Fathers, we know that our mothers and fathers have never left us as they made their transition. They've gone from eldership and transition into ancestorship. And we are grateful that we're able to say that they become a gray-haired old man or woman and transition into eldership and then into ancestorship. Father, we know that the young cannot become ancestors, and we know that they will never transition into ancestors. So it is a good thing to become gray and old-headed and become transition into an elder and then to ancestorship. So today we say, Father, thank you for ancestorship. And don't let our family members to be afraid to say the word ancestors. Ancestors, say it often enough and call out your heroes and sheroes' names and your family members throughout the day, just as I have taught you. Ladies and gentlemen, as you bow your head, I'd like for you to meditate on nothing but the goodness of God and his grace, which is so sufficient, meditating on all the good things that God has done for you. And as we embark upon this new chapter, is it advisable to get financial literacy opposed to just getting college? Father God, open up the door so that we will be able to implant knowledge, and that where we begin to plant seeds, someone will come and water it, but you will give the increase. Now, Father, increase us now in every end. Increase us in our finances. Increase our borders in our areas where we are able to move and have our being. Increase our knowledge, Father. Just increase our families. Increase that filthy lucre, because, Father, you know we need that in order to plan and do the work that you called us to do. But we'll be careful, Father, not to be frivolous with our money. As we teach each and every one of these youngsters and adults how if you waste not, you'll want not. Teach us how to be mindful of the fact that we're just stewards over this funding, Father, and show us how to use it without wasteful. And, Father, don't let us cast our good lot to the swine, and show us how to manage small amounts of money so that you will find us worthy over few things and give us more because we have proved ourselves to be wise over a few things, Father. And we will not despise small things. These are new beginnings, Father. Help us as we plant the seeds for each and every one of the households here, that they may rise up and see the benefit of economic status and understanding how to use the flow of money in their households. In the name of Jesus, we say, and in the name of Ola Dulamare, we say amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for going on the Talking Cure with us. We're going to transition now, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to take you right into talking about that attorney at law. And on this segment, we do not have our attorneys here, but you will be able to talk to Omi about what it is that students and young people should look for when it comes to probation. How do you look at it? Stay tuned for station identification.
Malcolm X for Dudley Randall. Original. Ragged Round. Rich Robust. He had the hawk man's eyes. We gasped. We saw the maleness raking out and making guttural the air and pushing us to walls. And in a soft and fundamental hour, a sorcery devout and vertical beguiled the world. He opened us, who was a key, who was a man.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That was a short segment by Malcolm X. The poet was written for Malcolm X. And we'd like to get those inserts in here so that you can get an idea of what it is that a Negro does when he speaks. Now join me in a Negro Speaks poem.
I've known rivers. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not heard those poems before, you ought to read them to your children. I read them throughout high school, through my junior high students, eighth grade students, seventh grade, and they had to memorize those poems. And they lay vividly in my mind, and I wanted to bring them to you as we go into Attorney at Law. So we are in the Attorney at Law segment of the show, ladies and gentlemen. And as I talked to you earlier about, the attorneys will be joining us possibly in the next week's segment. They are busy getting their schedule together. However, we do have three attorneys that will be briefly speaking and doing question and answers for us in the future. Now, today you have Omi, and I will be talking about what it is that a paralegal does, and we're going to be focusing in on probation. What does probation mean for someone who has been placed on probation, and basically what happens when you have your probation invoked, and how do you get your probation invoked? Let's go back a minute and talk about probation. We know that probation means that you have had some sanction put on you for a guilty plea that the judge takes and consideration and gives you a penalty that you must follow, and it has to be a formula of instruction that you must follow. It could be written out in a form where it tells you you could not attend certain places, you cannot be around certain people. It is a sanction, and it sanctions you as to what you can and cannot do. However, when you are sanctioned, you must follow that probation to a T, and you must report in to your probation officer by informal or formal. Now, what is formal? Formal means that you would actually physically come into the office where the probation officer is, and you will meet there on given dates that you're assigned, and you will show up, and you will answer to questions, and you will talk with your probation officer as the status of your life and what you're doing, and making sure that you're on task. Informal can be offered to you if they feel that the crime fits the case, where it's not as serious, and that you can call in on a regular basis. Not to say that you don't have responsibilities to keep in touch. This informal allows you not to have to show up, but you must make phone calls or you must mail in forms. Now, a lot of young people get confused because they think, I don't have to make contact with my attorney or with my probation officer. I can do it when I get ready. No, you can't. You must follow the instruction on a monthly basis, and you must adhere to, if you cannot reach them by phone, you must send a form, not an email, not a text message, but you must send a letter and confirming that, keeping record of all the contacts you make with your probation officer. And if there's a fee involved, you must adhere to that fee and set up payment arrangement and have that balance paid off prior to that probation ending. Now, what happens when probation is violated? What happens if your probation is invoked? If your probation is invoked and you violate any of those instructions, you can immediately be held under arrest without bond, meaning that the new charges indicating that the bond that you did have, you will lose that bond, and they can immediately invoke 15-day hold. So at that point, what happens to you? That 15-day hold, you cannot be bonded out. At that point, you're holding because they now have to look at your probation to see if you violated and what part of it you violated. At that point, you immediately have to contact your probation officer to let them know exactly what happened and why you are incarcerated and for what reason. At that point, you must ask your probation officer, have I violated probation and have I not met the criteria? If the probation officer says you have not violated probation, at that particular point, after the 15-day hold, you can proceed with paying your bond for that new charge. But you have to be very, very careful, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let anyone fool you. You have to be properly charged and have a speedy trial. And when you go to court and if you are under the impression that you're being represented by an attorney and you tell the court you're being represented by an attorney, they then must ask you if you have a representative. And if you don't, they indicate up front that they must offer you the source of having an attorney, which they will assign you a public defender. Now, at that point, if you have not been assigned a public defender, you have no business standing on that jury or on that stand representing yourself because you haven't declared yourself to be doing pro se. And at that particular point, a continuance must be had, and you will be referred on later until you get proper representation. Now, some of you are not understanding your rights, and your rights are being violated. If you do not get a chance to indicate that you are not representing yourself and you tell the judge I have an attorney, they must offer you a continuance. They cannot sit there and hold that case open and question you without proper representation. Now, some of these things are going to have to be talked about with our legislature that are going on, because I know that there's an effort to follow all laws, but some people fall outside of the laws and parameters of the law, and they must be called on it. And when they're called on it, don't let them play this game with you about everything is okay, we could get more hours, or we could get more time, we could do. You still have to fall within the laws, because if you do not give that plaintiff a chance or that defended a chance to have proper representation, and he's standing there trying to defend for himself, then he does not have the ability to access the law. So what do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Mothers, you make sure when those sons and daughters get those probation forms, you go over them to a T with them. You hold them responsible for upholding those probation forms. You explain to them that you're going to be the biggest probation officer because they're going to answer to you. And talk to the probation officer and let them know that, probation officer, I will be calling you if these things are not adhered to or if my son or daughter does not want to follow through. I will give my son and daughter over to you if they refuse and violate probation. Now, here's what you got to do, mothers. When you do that, you got to know the probation officer's name and have a rapport with them. Remember, this is a touchy situation. Too many of our children are getting locked up on violation of probation because they have not deciphered what this probation means. Some of them think, oh, I can still go out partying. Whoop-de-doo. Oh, I can still have a drink every once in a while. No, you can't. You cannot go around anyone that has been convicted of an offense. You can't go around drinking. You can't go around public places where there is alcohol beverages. You have to be very, very careful when you're under probation. This is during the time that you're being scrutinized, and at that particular point, you've been given a chance to prove your decency so that you have a chance to come back with a clear record showing that you can live your life at the level of a prudent human being. Now, mothers, I'm talking to you out there. During this segment, I want you to understand, get your daughters up, get your sons up, and if they're on probation, especially get them up. Because I will be the law in my house if I find that somebody is violating parole, violating probation. I'm going to be the biggest probation officer in my home because you will adhere to what the law says. I do not take easy to a child telling me I don't have to do this. If the law says you're going to do it, you're going to do it, and I'm going to support them, and you should too, parents. Now, I'm saying all this to say that we got to help these judges to give better sentences to our children and help them by working together with them so they can come off this parole and they can clear their record and possibly, if need be, there is now a new program where they can have their records expunged in some states. Now, we're here in Indiana, which is different, but in the state of Indiana, they start talking about it. They're doing it right now. And for those of you who don't realize it, now, it used to be after you have been on parole and you're done with your sentences, you had to wait 15 years for you not to have any excess violations on your record. Now, what that means also is that if you fill out an application, if they ask you if you've ever been convicted or if you have a felony, you must say yes. And it exposes your records, and then they're up for scrutinization from any corporation and from the legal system. Now, I understand that there's a brand new regulation that's going into effect. Instead of it being 15 years, now they've reduced it down to 8 years if you haven't had anything on your record in 8 years. Then, literally, you can go in and fill out an application. If on that application they ask you if you've ever been convicted of, or felony or arrested, you can then say no after that 8 years has lapsed. And at that point, your records are pretty much sealed to the public as far as corporations, employment, but they're open to the police force, but not to the general public to scrutinize and discriminate against hiring practices. Do you understand that? There will be a workshop in 3 different areas here in Indiana where they're going to be guiding and talking about expunging records. Matter of fact, tomorrow we will have a guest on our show who will be speaking on the process that they will go through for expungement and what the procedures are. I am not an expert on that, and we will have Mr. Muhammad come and speak with us tomorrow. So we want you to come back tomorrow and stay tuned and listen to Attorney at Law. You've been listening to Omi Inca 7. I am a paralegal. I worked in area of law, so we're speaking primarily today on probation and violating probation. We are not members of the bar. I do not hold a license to become a lawyer, but I am a paralegal, and we're speaking on generalization here today. So stay tuned tomorrow, and we'll be speaking on expungement. How do you get your records expunged and get your records cleared so you could go back to work and assume employment? You don't want to miss tomorrow's segment, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so very much for listening in to this show. As we exit out of this show, we want you to understand that we are going to give you a full line, ladies and gentlemen, a full line so that you can understand exactly what it is we're offering you on the show. Stay tuned as we go into Always Sisters, Always Friends. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Always Sisters, Always Friend. That's right, you have Omi and Mrs. Harvey, and Mrs. Harvey is my oldest sister, and I am the baby sister. They used to call me Maddie Ruth's baby sister. I've finally grown up, and I get a chance to be with the big girls now, and I get a chance to talk with my sister as a friend. And as you know, last time when we were on the show, we talked about friendship. And we ended the segment talking about genuine friends between various different races, and can you truly be a friend of someone of a different race? And is it difficult to be friends with a person of a different race? We finished that segment, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to carry it over for a minute here. If you're out there and like to call in to comment on that discussion or the one we're about to have, you can call in at 646-478-0270. Now, today's segment is going to be talking about those women who decide to go after our finest, mommy's finest, going after those men who carry those letters and who wear those jerseys. That's right. They don't waste time with those men that are coming right out of prison or those high school or college students. They go straight after the men who have contracts. Now, what's up with that? why are so many Caucasian women all of a sudden falling head over heels over a football player or a man with a jersey and a basketball? What is it all about? Are they trying to get in the birth line or the birthright so that they can be a part of that tree? So when that man transitions on, they are getting into his pocketbook. What is it all about? Are they really in love with that black man? And are they coming across too strong because they feel that that man, if only for one night, shares his income with her, that it's good enough for her? She doesn't have to love him. No, it's not about love, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to find out, is it about love or is it about that filthy Luca? Boy, he looks good on my shoulder because he's going to buy me all those Gucci's and those $1,500 bags, and I can see myself right now in that floor-length mink coat that me and him are going to be wearing and those matching rings and watches. So it's adding up. That man's filthy Luca, seeing how much they can get out of him, it's not about love. What love got to do with it, got to do with it? He seems to think that I'm acting confused when I'm close to you. There's a name for it, or there's a phrase that is, but whatever it is, I do it for you. Oh, what love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? That's what we're saying. What love got to do with it? Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to go to the phone lines and ask Mrs. Harvey, what's love got to do with it? Stay tuned. Mrs. Harvey, what does love have to do with it when a woman is going after those basketball stars? You know, the show that came on TV was a big hit where these basketball wives were on TV acting a plum fool over that filthy Luca. What do you have to say about that? Is it love or is it just a filthy Luca?
Well, what I think it is, mostly, I can't speak for all of them, but I can say that a lot of them just want the possibility of being showing, you know, being out there with him, being in the spotlight, you know. And it's not always love, really. And you can look around you and see that most of the guys in football and different sports and all that, women are after those kind of men because they know that he's out in public and he has a few extra dollars to spend, and that's what they're really after. But you do find that some women are really in love with those men.
Well, Mrs. Harvey, I say contrary, my friend. We don't know if they're in love. We haven't been able to do the research on that. The majority of those women have to grow in love. And even after my 35 years of marriage, the first time you're married, you're not in love. You grow in love. So when they see the pocketbook and the dollar signs, that's enough to make them feel like they're in love, not necessarily be in love, because it is basically a mirage. It is a fantasy, and you're in love with love. What makes you in love is that you've gone through something together. You've sacrificed something. So you can't possibly be in love when you first see these dollar bill signs. Dollar bills, y'all, okay? Now, I'm serious, Miss Harvey. We've got a large following of those basketball stars. Take a survey when you look into the gym and the audience of those wives that are football and basketball wives. The majority of them are Caucasian. They are not black. Now, that tells me that either they've been sick on these athletes or they went out on their own, and more times than not, they have not gone out on their own. They are just white women who have been sick on the black men. They're acting as if they're in drag. What does that mean? That means they can bring that money back to the community and share it with the family. So they're glad that somebody took her in and had some money. Now, what does that mean exactly? Is it all about get it all in the family so that the family can benefit from it? So we're going to go to the phone lines, and if you're out there and if you know some football wives who married just for the money and they never loved this man at all, and as a matter of fact, they despise this man, and now they want to get a divorce because they want, they didn't sign a prenup, and now they got to split all the money. Now, if you're out there and you're a football wife, call in. I want to talk to you. And if you're a football player, call in. I'd like to talk to you. 646-478-0270. Is it about the money? What's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? You seem to think that I'm acting confused when I'm close to you. There's a name for it, or there's a phrase that did. Whatever the reason, I do it for you. Oh, what's love got to do? Got to do with it? What's love got to do with it, ladies and gentlemen? Call in. We're going back to our phone lines. Miss Harvey, you are in the atmosphere, and I'd like to know if those women have signed a prenup agreement and why so many of them divorce if they love these men. Why, Mrs. Harvey?
Well, you know, love is an action word. And if they love the men, there's a lot of reasons why they were divorced. And it could have been not necessarily the woman's part of the reason they were divorced. It could have been the man's part. But by the same token, you must realize, too, that, like I said, love is an action word. And a lot of these women are after these men because they want to publicity. They want to be in the limelight, you know. They want to be seen, and they want to be recognized as being somebody because they have a basketball or football player, you know, out there. But by the same token, there's some of these women out there are just after these men just the publicity. It's not necessarily love.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Harvey. You are on the money. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we've come to an agreement. Mrs. Harvey and I are agreeing on something here in this topic. I'd like to also say, for those of you who think it's okay to interracially date, call in and talk about it. Come on and tell us about it. Now, I have a white sister-in-law, and she's been in my family for over 20 years in a common law situation. My brother and I have always been close. She resented the relationship that we had together. She kept saying, it's because I'm white, isn't it? I said, no, it's not because you're white. It's just because him and I identify with each other because we're both of the same race. You just don't know the black experience. She continued to believe that because it was she was white, and I wanted to prove to her, no, it's not because you're white. You've got to learn a little bit more about our culture, then you'll fit in. Then you can get in the mix. Nevertheless, being married, having a white sister-in-law growing up, she wanted to get to know the black experience. So I decided to let her in. I decided to let her in on the whole ball and wax, but I noticed she couldn't handle it. She kept resorting back to her race. And it wasn't us who pointed out her race, but she kept pointing her own race out. Now, are white girls inferior when black girls are present? Is our presence too strong and causes them to be inferior? Nevertheless, she was my sister-in-law, and I had to learn to love her because my brother loved her. But she had some hang-ups, and just as white girls do when they're in the presence of black women, they have hang-ups of their own, and they become superstitious and cause themselves to stumble. If they would stop worrying about second-guessing themselves, then they could possibly fit into the mix. Now, question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have interracially family members in your family, do they constantly have a phobias about how someone feels about them? And are you always explaining yourself about race is not an issue, we accept you? And is it becoming a problem for your family? And have you decided to not invite that other in-law because they are way too hung up on race? Call in. Please do call in. This is Always Sisters, Always Friends. Now, we are talking about how to become friends with somebody without having to take them home and take them to bed with you and make them your bosom buddy. Why can't they just accept you being a friend from a distance? Why do you have to do everything together and agree on everything? Call in, ladies and gentlemen. I want to hear from you. I'm going to the phone lines. Mrs. Harvey's still waiting out there in the balance. I want to see what she has to say on this. I know she's got a different opinion this evening, so here we go. Mrs. Harvey, you have the airline.
All right, I'm going to take you a little further back. I'm going to give you some scripture where, if you know, the Bible said, love you one another as I have loved you. You don't look at people's race and everything. You look at the individual. You know?
Lady, you're not on the air because that's not what we're talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about relationship. We are not talking about scriptures. We are not talking about loving anybody because you first have to love yourself. There's no way you can offer anyone any love that you don't already exist and have yourself. Black people have gotten too caught up into saying we're going to love everybody but our own black selves. Now, here lies the problem. I want us to stop and give ourselves a big hug right now. If you're African American, give yourself a triple, double, dipple hug because you need it. Because we are so hell-bound on looking in the mirror, hating ourselves, and then talking about how we're going to love somebody else. You can't do it, people. You can't. Once someone knows you love your black self, they want to be in your company because they know you're going to share that love to them. Nobody integrates with somebody who has low self-esteem. If they know you don't love yourself, you better believe you will not gain friendship that way. Now, the way that you gain friendship is you demonstrate that love for yourself, then the people around you want that magnetism love. Now, we got to get up off this old Willie Lynch, Jim Crow stuff saying we got to love everybody. No, we don't have to love everybody. We've got to respect everybody. And when we respect everybody, love is not a necessity. Now, God said he loved you unconditional. He said that he loved you with agape love. Now, we as church people always say, I love you, child. I love you with the love of the Lord. We can't even love with our own love at that level because there's so much racism that goes on. It divides us. And when people tell you they love you, test them. Test them. So let's not go getting into the Bible, getting Bible enriched, talking about the Bible said, the Bible said. Right. But who took the Bible and perverted things by saying, slave, honor your master and obey your master? If we followed that, we would still be waiting over 400 years, worse than what we're doing now to get out of slavery. We got to understand we can't go using that scripture to turn the world around. What we've got to do is force people to demonstrate their love for one another in the community if they say they're Christian. Don't you go and turn over backwards to show so much love that they don't have to do a darn thing but watch you act crazy about loving them. So let's get it straight, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not get it twisted. We are not going to take the same scriptures that someone else used to whip us into slavery. Now that we've got our freedom, let's think with our right minds. Now, I'm going to go to those phone lines. If you're out there and you haven't called in to Always Sisters, please call in. We have about 5 more minutes, 646-478-0270. How do you feel about talking to people in your church that are of a different race? And you know the preacher's been preaching on love. Girl, you better love everybody. Ooh, you better love them with the love of your heart. And you see somebody in your church not even doing their congregation right and mistreating them. How do you handle that? Do you go to the pastor or do you take 2 or 3 witnesses with you and you go and reprimand that congregation fellowship person? Tell me about it. Church folk, call in. We're going to the phone line. Miss Harvey, somebody's done you wrong in church. They happen to be somebody that said they love you, but they say they hate black people, and they don't want to sit next to black people, and they don't have to, so they want to sit in a different section. How do you feel about that in the church, and how do you bring that to the pastor? Going to the phone line, Mrs. Harvey, you're in the air.
What I think about that is that you should, if that individual approached you with that, you should sit down with that individual and have a further conversation with her and let her know that how can she hate somebody when God loved her and she's supposed to love everybody else. It's bad when you sit down and say you hate somebody and you in the church. No way.
Well, Miss Harvey, I think if we can love God who we have not seen and then hate our next-door neighbor who we see every day, then the truth is not in us, and we are not acting godly.
There's something wrong with us when we at that state of mind, when you get so that you love God and can't love your fellow man, there's something wrong with you. Then you need to back up and start praying again and asking God to show you. Because when you love you can't love nobody before you love yourself first. When you love yourself, then you can love somebody else.
Well, you know what, Mrs. Harvey, you're so right. And I want to say that sometimes we try to get the horse before the cart, and we're in these churches talking about loving, and we don't even have respect. Respect comes with the ability to love somebody eventually. Love is a very, very big order. And when you order up love, you better be able to live with the consequences, because love does not overnight come. It's a process. So when we get in these churches and we're all loving each other with the love of the Lord and the agape love, we have to be certain that we understand what we're talking about, because two people can come together and don't have to agree on something, but they have to respect what one another say. But we have groups of people who tend to believe that we all should be clones and think just alike, and if you don't think like me, then I hate you. Oh, you know, you don't like what I like, well, I hate you. And you don't want to do what I do, well, I hate her. They're so quick to use this word hate, not knowing how powerful hate is. Hate is a very powerful word.
How can you say you love God when you never seen it and hate your fellow man? I don't understand that one. That's something there that you got to come to knowledge with. How can you love God and you never seen him, but you hate your fellow man? Now,
Mrs. Harvey, we're going to kind of shift the gears back. We're talking about sisters in here, and this show has been dedicated to issues of women. Now, jealousy is green and is crueler than the grave, and for some reason, our family members and fathers and mothers cultivate greed, and we cultivate jealousy in our children. The way you tell your children not to covet other people's materials, their possessions, and not to hate, and not to be jealous, because whatever God has given you, that measure of faith, if he's giving it to someone else, he's giving it to you. God is no respecter of person. What he's done for someone else, he'll do it for you. Where we have a problem at is that women by nature have a tendency to have grievance against the other female. Now, we were talking about here in our room yesterday about creating a united front. Most women don't understand that we are being seen as a lesser vessel. So when we go out front, we have to create a united front before all the world to see. But the biggest war is going on between female women, and more so with Caucasian women. If you're in the workforce and you're working in these positions, you are finding that there's a lot of discrepancy about advancement, promotion, and women in general are fighting amongst themselves. Now, here's my case in point where I'll prove it to you. If they have to hire a minority to fill a grant requirement, a double minority used to be recommended, a black and a female. In most instances, they are not living up to the civil rights movement or the regulation. They rather, you know, tell you that we have our one point. We hired a minority female. At the same time, there was a statement made about Caucasian women being in drag, carrying out the mission of the white supremacist white male. Is that true? Does she put on the attire of a white male and pull her pants up the same way and carry out the same mission and does the same thing that possibly a male would do? And if she does, call in, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk about it. What happens in these boardrooms? Does the white woman have to go in the boardroom and carry on just like the Caucasian man as one of the old boys? So when she comes out among the women, she can't be herself a female. She has to conduct herself in a manly gender. And if need be, undermine the people because she, too, is in control. Now, let's talk about it because we're going to get down serious and down right to the point because we have issues here and we can't just say we're always sisters, always friends. We would like to believe that. However, things are not going that way. How can we correct those things in the boardroom? How can we make friends out of Caucasian women and black women? And how can they have an ally? What do we need to do to make that move? And if you're out there and got solutions, we want you to call in and give us some answers. 646-478-0270. Our segment is almost up, ladies and gentlemen. We're ready to go right into our mission, go right into our family life session, okay? And we're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back at you in a minute. So stay tuned. For being a part of Always Sisters, Always Friend. Stay tuned for that Always Sisters, Always Friend tomorrow, same time. We're going right into family life education. Stay tuned.
The Negro with the trumpet at his lips has dark moons of weariness beneath his eyes where the smoldering memory of slave ships blaze to the crack of whips about his thighs. The Negro with the trumpet at his lips has a head of vibrant hair tamed down, patent leathered now until it gleams like jet, were jet a crown. The music from the trumpet at his lips is honey mixed with liquid fire. The rhythm from the trumpet at his lips is ecstasy distilled from old desire. Desire that is longing for the moon, where the moonlight's but a spotlight in his eyes. Desire that is longing for the sea, where the seas are bar glass, sucker size. The Negro with the trumpet at his lips, whose jacket has a fine one-button roll, does not know upon what riff the music slips its hypodermic needle to his soul. But softly, as a tune comes from his throat, trouble mellows to a golden note.
What must I do to convince you that I'm here to service you? I live in the neighborhood and my ways are just as good. Why don't you come and support me the way you know you should?
Yeah.
my community. Our big businessman, you know he thinks he's free, 'cause he makes a lot of money, but he's black like me. He bought a big house on the hill, away from the likes of me. He makes all of his money off of us, you see, but he never reinvests in the community. Tell me, why won't he invest in our community?
I am in with a product and a plan. Me need money to have the plan expand. The bank say no when I ask for help. Where are my brothers who got all their wealth? They say God bless the child who got his own. Though a child be blessed, he can't do much alone. Who can I turn to if I can't count on you? What is a small businessman to do?
Wait 5 years while you're engaged and go through a trial marriage and have no children the first 5 years, build up your finances so that you can have finances to make purchases. For that 5 years, on that fifth year, that mother can come home and start planning for her children with her husband, and at that particular point, she's laid away all of her money in a savings. Now, we are asking the question, does this help you make preparation for the birth of your children? And then when you have made that preparation, then you make preparation for that child entering into college as well later on. So what is happening here? We're looking at financial literacy. Most of our families are financially bankrupt. We do not know the benefit of taking money and putting it away, and we want everything today. We don't want to wait and look for things on sale. We don't want to market for the most economic price. We don't want to save coupons. And most of all, the most important thing, we've got to learn to live on a budget. I've lived on a budget now since I've been retired for over almost 4 years now. If you can take half the amount of money that you're used to making and still get a chance to take a short vacation every now and then and still have some extracurricular activities, I think you're doing pretty darn good. But we must look at, should our children first consider developing their financial literacy and developing how they're going to spend money and how they're going to be a good steward over money before they ever go into college? Because you can run up a lot of bills sending your child or your youngsters to college without them having any foundation of economic status. It can become very wasteful with a young person thinking they need every one of the modern gym shoes and all the fancy clothes and a new car going to college, and then for them to maintain all of those get-ups and have to have 2 and 3 jobs to maintain it. Now, we're talking about, can we find a solution financially where we can avoid going to college and bombing out and running up expenses, or altogether deciding we don't need to go to college. Maybe we need to get our finances together and work for a couple of years. Then when we get mature enough in how to handle money, then we can go and get a place of our own or stay in a dorm so we don't go bankrupt. Most of these young people coming out of college are going bankrupt because they're running up so many expenses from these private loans, which they have to pay back. And those don't go on the revolving 6 months waiting period. They usually are due immediately after you borrow those private loans. Now, what I'd like to say, if we have partnered with Junior Achievement, they have the ticket, ladies and gentlemen. They've got the perfect curriculum and outline that we're working with now as I speak to help teach you as volunteers and parents. There's a special segment for parents and a separate segment for the volunteers and teachers. The material is going to fit the cause. It's going to work with those home economic programs. And some of your states have Junior Achievement and some of them don't. You want to start asking around your school about getting your children enrolled in Junior Achievement. You can come to this airways and inquire here online with us about Junior Achievement and some of the curriculum that we're going to have available. Children must learn how to use socioeconomic status, how to take their allowance, divide it up, pay themselves, purchase the things they need, and save a certain portion. They need to have custodian accounts, and mothers, you need to open them for them. You need to show them that they must keep tabs on their account. Now, you can also let your children buy stock. Take your children out and tell them to buy some stock. Tell them to buy some stock and then show them how to watch that stock and see if it's going to grow. Is it financial literacy, or should we throw our children into college without having a financial literacy beforehand? I say no. Do not put that child in college if they don't have a handle of money. It will make you and your family miserable because you can never make enough money to give them if they don't know how to manage the small amount you give them. It's very important that you take that child to the bursar's office and walk them through and tell them they're going to have a refund that comes. But when they get that refund, you can have the refund check come home, Mom, in your name, okay? Or you can have that check come home in their name, and you both go to the bank to cash it. Don't let them cash it at a PLS store, a check cashing place, and then they blow it. Tell them that when they cash it, they're going to divide it up into segments, and they're going to invest some of the money so that it can double and grow, and they're going to put some in savings, and they're going to pay all their expenses, and at the same time, don't let them blow their money buying some big electrical object or a car. Sometimes children say, oh, this is my chance to get me a little car, a little beater, and that's what they get, parents, a beater. They go out and get a car that's not functional, and then it's in the shop most of the time than when they're driving it. So your children is going to college, but you also need to know, do they need an understanding of money? Do you need to give them a quick overview online under the Junior Achievement, which you could download with your child, giving them a segment starting their junior year every year until they finish their senior year? Then you would have given them a foundation for how to do a balancing of their checkbook, how to take their statements at the end of the month and balance their checking account. How many of your children can do that? How many of you can do that, parents? How many of you understand how to balance your checkbook? And if you don't understand, don't feel bad, because that's why Junior Achievement have designed all these great materials for you to use. Now, we want to bring you consumer science, and that's what consumer science is all about. Every month, you are going to hear about consumer science. We are not going to eliminate this segment. It will be a permanent part of our program. Because we are consumer science, we're going to show you how to handle your political, economics, and legal, and handle your household if need be. We are trying to get households fit so that you can get debt-free. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Have you ever been debt-free before? Yes, I have. Am I debt-free now? No, but I would love to be. And as we get our economic status under control, we can become debt-free. Now, getting back to the families and relationship, when you're jumping into these relationships, make sure you have an engagement. I showed you how the African wedding and the engagement was done. If you don't believe me, go to my website. The main important thing, is that you understand we cannot have a college solution without having a financial literacy test done in our houses with our children. Quit giving these children all this money and expecting them to know how to budget it. Show them about coupons. Show them about sales, and show them when to go out to the stores and how to travel online to different places to find the best buy for their money. I'm a home economist. Home economics is my major. So quite naturally in my house, when I budget money, I'm stretching pennies, I'm monitoring things, and I'm showing my son how to go in with his coupons in the grocery store to buy at the best stores. We're not going to sacrifice quality over quantity. I always go for quality, the best and the top of the line when it comes to fruits, vegetables, and my main core. We're not going to skip on that. We are going to just buy less of it. But we're not changing our lifestyle. Another thing, how do you develop a quality of life? Let me tell you right now, people are stealing in the system. They're stealing from your pension plans. They're stealing from your Social Security. They're stealing from your workers' comp. They're stealing from your unemployment. And your quality of life is changing. Don't let them do it. Keep your standard and quality of life. And understand one thing, that you earn that money and you have a right to determine which quality of life you want to lead. Don't lower your standards and don't skimp off of sardines and crackers when you can have a delicatessen meal for the same fraction of the price. Don't think because you get a fixed income every month that you must eat cat food to live. You have to live to eat and eat quality foods. You got to show your children a good time and every once in a while go out and splurge a little bit to show them the quality of life. And stop living beneath your quality of life like you live in a basement floor apartment lifestyle. If you want to get over the grain house, you must live like you're in a mansion and function that way by using coupons, discounts, joining up for clubs, and finding all of the opportunities to have quality life. If you like the spa, you can experience the spa. You just have to buy the spa when it's on discount. You can't go during peak season or you can't travel during peak season. You must buy those buddy passes and fly during the season when it's not peak. Now, you must have a quality of life is what Omi is saying. And in so many words, this is marriage and family life. I hope you're having a quality life. And we're going to see you tomorrow on this topic, same time, same place. And don't forget, you can live a quality of life, and that's what we're trying to show you today. You can live a quality of life. Now, Mrs. Harvey is going to give us a little input about what is a quality of life.
Well, I think the first thing you should do as your child grow up is to teach your child how to save her money. And then when she becomes engaged, then she and her engagement partner sit down, put their money together and invest it in stock. And as that stock grows and they get married, they can have a better quality of life than anybody that sits out and just waits for their paycheck to come in every week or every 2 weeks. And when you teach your children the value of a dollar, how to save money and how to invest it, that will help them to have a better quality of life.
Very good, Mrs. Harvey. Now, you know, I've seen people who are in the limelight have all kinds of events to attend, and they're dropping 60 here, 50 there, buy a plate for $1,000, make a donation here. It gets to be so overwhelming sometimes people just tend to recline to their house and they don't go out anymore. I don't think that it's right for you to eliminate yourself and become a hermit and don't go out. I think it's very important for you to pick and choose those events that you want to attend and make sure you're being seen out in the courtyard. Make sure you're being seen somewhere because it's healthy for you. Now, I don't care if you are in a fixed income, you fix your income so that you can frequent some of those things and have a quality of life. And I'm saying that because so many people live beneath their quality of life, yet they're getting income and don't know what to do with it. Now, that's what this room is all about, showing you how to gauge your money and how to invest and spend your money so you have a quality of life. There's going to be topics on investment and how to make your money grow and how to look at when you're filing your taxes, how to get the benefit of filing your taxes and what lines you should put information on and how to become a corporation and put your whole family's business under your corporation. All of those things are going to be made available to you. But we want you to remember, as we talked about earlier, you must have a good engagement with your potential spouse, and you must do long-term planning. All of these things must be included in your long-term planning, and your pastor probably would want to take a look at your portfolio of what your projected plans are for your family. And if you don't have an outline for your marriage and family, then you have no business getting married because it will be a disaster. You need to have a six-month You need to have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan of what it is you're going to do with your finances when you come together in holy matrimony. And this has been the Family Life Education talking to you, Omi, and my fierce partner, Mrs. Harvey. Stay tuned. We'll be back at you in the atmosphere on tomorrow on the same topic. Right now, we're going to go right into our last segment of the show, Health and Wellness, and that's with Dr. Jamil Harvey, who's going to take over that particular segment. And we're going to go to station identification, and we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere, ladies and gentlemen. And just wait and see. We
got a sermon on the warp land. The fact that we are black is our ultimate reality. Ron Karenga. And several strengths from drowsiness campaigned, but spoke in single sermon on the warpland and went about the warpland saying, "No, my people, black and black, revile the river. Say that the river turns and turn the river. Say that our something in double pod contains seeds for the coming hell and health together. Prepare to meet, sisters, brothers, the brash and terrible weather, the pains, the bruising, the collapse of bestials, idols. But then, oh then, the stuffing of the hulls, the seasoning of the perilously sweet, the health, the heralding of the clear obscure. Build now your church, my brothers, sisters. Build never with brick, nor corten, nor with granite. Build with live love, with love like lion eyes, with love like morning rise, with love like black, our black, luminously indiscreet, complete, continuous."
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we must build. And we must build our health. And without health and strength, we are nothing, ladies and gentlemen. We must build the physical man as well as the spiritual man. And building in our efforts to put good substance in our body, we want to be mindful of mind, body, soul, and spirit. And stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're going right into a segment of health and wellness with Dr. Jamal Harvey. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Today we'll be talking about putting good substance in your body and putting good probiotics in your body, utilizing good substance so that we are not drinking milk that's contaminated, but we're drinking milk like kefir, and we're also taking in raw substance to make our engines develop into hardy bodies. So stay tuned. We're going to go right in the atmosphere with Dr. Jamal Harvey. Let me see if he's there now. Dr. Jamal, you're in the atmosphere. Are you there?
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. How are you, Dr. Jamal?
Very good. Very good.
And our topic this evening is talking about putting good substance in our bodies, such as not utilizing the old homogenized milk, but doing an alternative, such as soy milk, almond milk, or even kefir. We're going to be talking about how those enzymes and probiotics can help prepare our stomach now and for the future so that we are not bloated, we are not gassy, and experiencing digestive problems. So, Dr. Jamal, can you give us some input on utilizing some of the alternative milks, such as almond milk and soy milk, and now kefir? You have the atmosphere.
What you have to realize is that there are a lot of genetically altered and modified food substance. A lot of cows have been shot up with certain chemicals from the Monsanto pharmaceutical company, and those are not good. Do you research on that, please? What you want to do is basically organic. You want to get milk that you know where the cow and how the cow was raised and fed. If the cow was fed certain grains, okay, if the cow was synergistically fed through balanced grains and not chemically altered animals or fed a chemically altered grain substitute, now you're getting an organic milk, okay, and that's very, very important. Along with that, you want to incorporate enzymes into the body. Enzymes would be papaya, pineapple, mango. Put some apple pectin or apples, pears. You want to at least drink your half your body's weight in water, okay, to keep the colon nice and moist for evacuation. And you also want to realize that during the summer months, you want to eat less meat, because if you think about green plants such as cabbage, green plants such as, well, take corn, for instance, or just fruit and vegetables, period, that have to stay in the sun. Eat the plant that stays in the sun the most, because the sun has what they call photosynthesis. The more meat that you have into your body, the hotter it is for you outside. the less meat you have in your body and the more leaf you have in your body and green substance, the cooler you are, as hot as it is outside. So you want to have a body that is full of vegetables and of the green substance, okay, the chlorophyll in your body has to be very high in order to deal with the sun. Enzymes plus chlorophyll, and you should have a great summer.
Very good, very good. Now, Dr. Jamil, I just recently ran across some kefir in one of the local grocery stores, in Aldi's, as a matter of fact. I was quite delighted to see that they were selling kefir, knowing that kefir is one of the main staples over in Europe. Whenever the meal is served, kefir is always poured in a glass to prepare that stomach for digestion. Can we talk a little bit about the probiotics in the digestive system and what does kefir do for the body? And is there enough amino acids there to help build the building blocks?
Well, kefir basically is a probiotic. What is a probiotic? A probiotic is the floral enzyme. It's the floral substance that keeps the fluoride strong in the colon, okay? So when your fluoride is strong, it raises your immune system. In other words, kefir is almost like colostrum or clabber. Clabber would be the first level of milk from the cow, which is your immunoglobulin builders. So that's another brand of what kefir is. And it's very good because when you over here in the West, in the United States, and your colon is deprived of probiotics, then you have what you would call gastritis, you have gas, you have irritable bowel syndrome, a lot of digestive disorders. So kefir basically helps to strengthen from an immune system and from a probiotic by building the fluoride in your stomach. That fluoride or villi gets worn out through antibiotics, through different types of alcohol, different types of substances that we ingest that are non-balanced foods, acids. It wears out in time, which means now you become lactose intolerant. So the kefir that they add in Europe is another probiotic that's good for the body, and it helps to break down carbohydrates, lipids, proteins, and fats. So that's it's good to substitute some of that as part of your daily diet.
You know, I at one time was reading an article about the various different children in China who were demonstrating some behavior problems that was strictly tied to the digestive system, and they had found that these various different combinations were turning into alcohol in the lower intestine, and the children were functioning as if they were intoxicated. And it was discovered that when that body is digesting, because we use most of our, a large portion of our energy is used to digest, so when that digestive system is really, really mellowed out with the proper enzymes to break down those enzymes, then you begin to see behaviors and moods change in children. And at one time I was working with a group of people out of California who were working with children with amino acids and working with their digestive system, because they were finding it was a large portion of yeast, undigested yeast in their stomachs, which turned into alcohol and caused the child to be almost in a drunken state. And, it is legitimate because at first they were saying, oh, it can't be possible. So eventually they called it, I'm trying to think of the name, it was a name they called it. Now it'll come to me in a minute. But this yeast was growing in the body, and it grows in you and I and our bodies too, and some more rapidly than others. And then you see more children acting out and acting as if they're intoxicated, and they really are, because this alcohol is building up in the body. Now, can we talk about what parents can do to alleviate that yeast from growing in the intestines, and how they can stop that child from being intoxicated while in the classroom? And are you familiar with this particular this term? I know you've heard the term before. What's it called?
It's a nutritional disorder. It's a nutritional disorder.
But it has another name to it. And there's books out on it now, and they try to help you kill the yeast so that it won't keep growing in the intestines. Do you know what I mean? It's got a name for the condition. I can't think of it.
It's basically a yeast infection.
Yeast infection, but they had another name for that yeast infection. Do you remember? And they give Partiocal tea that will also kill off these.
Partiocal is part of the yeast cider. You can get Partiocal combined with some black walnut, combined with some other herbs, and it will help to kill off the yeast. One of the best things to do is you have to go into a high enzyme program, okay? Enzymes will help to break down the myths, the fats, a lot of the toxins. So you're going to need a lot of amylase, protease, and papillase in high levels and high dosages in order to start to break up the hardened substance that's in the colon that will cause you to have that yeast infection, okay? That yeast infection goes into a fluid which makes it a rancid acid. So a lot of different combinations of herbs to fight yeast would be recommended for the parents, for their children. Some herbs,
What are some of the symptoms that a parent can notice about the child? I noticed in the classroom the child would have a white ring around the mouth all the time, mouth very, very dry, and also a lot of excess masses of dead skin. So what are some of the symptoms that you can give the parent about what they can notice in the child?
Look at your child's tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Watch to see if the child is itching and scratching at the nose or at the face. Those are two real giveaways. Just stick the tongue out and see the coloration of the tongue. If it's white, if the child is saying that his or her mouth is burning all the time, that's an over-acid situation. What you want to do is basically get basic alkaline water. Alkaline water, 9.0, will begin to reverse that situation around in the water. Alkaline water could help reverse that.
And what's that pH balance for the alkaline that mother should examine their child?
9.0, but what you want to do is check with the alkaline strips to make sure that the pH balance is regulated morning and night. Okay? You want to stay away from sugar. You want to stay away from a lot of sweets. You want to stay away from a lot of breads. You must get the alkalinity in the bloodstream balanced, because in that situation, what you would have is an acidic pH balance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the causes. And so to correct that drunkenness, you want to flush the body with alkaline water, the highest alkaline water that you can get. Okay, flush their bodies out, quarts to gallons. They should urinate. So you want to stay on alkaline water for at least a week, at a quart, a pint, in some cases a half gallon a day. Flush it out of the system with water, alkaline water. Then follow up with fruit, okay, papaya, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Use papaya and mangoes, okay, and some apples, all right, some bananas. Because some herbs, some children are too young for certain herbs, okay? So, and then a lot of digestive enzymes. And you should see a reverse in that situation. Every situation
very good,
is different.
Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, we want those phone lines to light up. We have Dr. Jamel Harvey on the line here. He's a naturopathic doctor. Some folks call him the medicine man. But I say he's a doctor that holds a pen in the palm of his left hand. And I do believe that you can get your questions answered here. You want to call in at 646-478-0270. We're talking to Dr. Jamel Harvey in reference to looking at the children's digestive enzyme and what breaks down those enzymes and cause the alcohol level to build up and the child to become intoxicated. It's a real condition, ladies and gentlemen. I've experienced it for myself in a classroom. And they sometimes create pharmaceutical medicine that you give on the pin of a toothpick to put in the child's mouth to help him break down some of that excess yeast in the body. And there's a combination, and there is also a yeast factor book, I think, that's been written, and there are a combination of products that they give to the child to help keep those levels of yeast down. Now, women, guess what? You can also acquire this condition with over excessive amounts of yeast as well, which we know that women are common to yeast infection, but at the same time, you need a probiotic to help keep your levels of yeast down. And you also need to understand that a lot of your yeast infections that you go to the doctor to inquire about, you can find that you can also use various different products for douching to alleviate some of the yeast buildup. But we're talking to Dr. Jamel Harvey. If you want to call in to formalize your question, Dr. Jamel, I also want to say in dealing with the behavior problems and mood disorders in the children, some of the other things that we have found was the amino acid deficiency, where these children didn't have balanced proteins in their body. What type of protein should they be getting?
It all depends on what the situation is. That's a broad statement, and to just, you know, there's no protein deficiencies can vary.
Or can I say, are all proteins alike? Are they different types of protein?
You have vegetable protein and animal protein. So, but you're talking about a protein deficiency in a person, which could vary. Okay, a person could be lacking.
Well, actually, I'm talking about amino acid deficiency, where they, you know, even though they say that you have too much acid in your body, there are some good acids that are good for you, such as the amino acids. They are an essential thing that you can't live without. So let's talk about those good acids and how do we use them.
Again, we have to find out which one of the amino acids are they lacking. L-arginine, okay, tryptophan, all right? So you have to do an analysis to see what protein, what amino acid is the body missing.
Is there a test that they can have for that?
Well, you have to get a blood test to get that done. Get a blood test to really see your protein levels, because your body, the absorption level of L-arginine could be hampered through yeast infection. The body's not absorbing. The body could not be absorbing L-tryptamine, okay, or arginine. The body just could not be absorbing certain amino acids. And, you know, you need to get a blood test to determine where your amino acid levels are, okay, what you're deficient in. And, you know, with a test like that, you can best, it would come out better to have a test to see your amino acid levels, what you're deficient in, what you're overabundant in as well. Because the body has to be able to break down protein, and if not, it just stores itself in the body and starts to decay, and it will start problems as well. So
now,
an imbalance in protein is not good.
There's the 23 amino acid, essential amino acids. So in our diet every day, are we to have those in harmony and balance, the full 23, or can we live without having all 23?
Well, a lot of people live without having, a lot of people go every day without protein in their body. It's called starvation. A lot of Americans walk around every day without complete proteins or without balanced proteins in their diet. And you can tell by the behavior, because protein directly affects the brain and how you think, how you function. So, you know, that happens on an everyday basis already. Okay?
Now, let me also switch gears here. I know we talked a little bit about that biggest organ in the body, the liver. And now the liver is just becoming so visible to me, because it functions in so many capacities with the mood and how you feel and how everything has to be flushed through the liver. Now, what are some good liver foods, and should we be eating actual liver to build our liver organ, or are there other things that we should be eating to strengthen the liver?
Well, that's German thought right there, or Danish, Dutch, German kind of thinking. Artichoke helps the liver. Milk thistle tea helps the liver. For that matter, some ginger.
Some ginger?
Peppermint. Mm-hmm.
You said ginger?
Ginger. Ginger helps
now, can you assess a patient that might have a blue mood and depression? Does depression come a lot with infected liver? Do you see a lot of that in your clientele where if they're not feeling good, their mood is low, something is going on in the liver?
It's the blood. Red clover and the red clover combination, red clover with burdock root, dandelion tea, all those will help to remove toxins from the blood. Because, see, once you have an abundance of toxins in your blood, the liver has to filter that and then send as clean of blood as it can to the heart and to the brain. So when you take red clover and dandelion, okay, burdock root, you're taking certain acids out of the blood system. You're taking certain poisons and toxins out. That's why enzymes are so important, because with enzymes and with the proper herbal balance, you help the liver without getting into artichoke or milk. So if you're cleansing, if you're taking blood cleansers and you're taking acid removers, keeping your pH balance level, then your liver doesn't have to do that great. It doesn't have to double and triple its job. It can just do its job and filter the remaining particles.
Now, Dr. Jamil, you answered that question very well. Minerals, we haven't spoke too much about the trace minerals and massive dose of minerals and the liquid minerals, and I think there's another one that I can't remember the name of it, that can actually change the course of someone's life, where we get our vitamins on a day-to-day basis when we eat, but we tend to have a deficiency in our essential minerals, our trace minerals. And some of the deficiencies that we have are from a lack of having minerals. Now, I see in the school system children are constantly eating candy and craving for different salts and various different peanuts and things that they're eating constantly, sunflower seeds. I'm finding that these children are so deficient in the minerals that if you give a supplement of the minerals, that child's eyes will light up. You can begin to see in the classroom when a child is dull and listless that he's deficient, but when you begin to start, in my classroom we could serve snack and we could bring food. I noticed that I gave seaweed. I served seaweed soup, and I gave seaweed in the sheets, and the children ate it. They loved it. And I noticed that they became sharper, they became more on task, and they were better critical thinkers. And I found that if I offered that to them, they never turned it down. And at first, when I tried it, I didn't even like it, but I noticed the children began to start liking it because there was deficiencies of minerals that they were lacking. How important are minerals opposed to vitamins?
Well, minerals are very important. Vitamins are nothing but minerals. I don't know why they call it vitamin. I've never seen a vitamin tree. Vitamins are minerals.
I can't hear you, Jamil. Could you speak just a little louder? Okay.
Vitamins are minerals, and minerals are vitamins. I don't know why they classified vitamin. I've never seen a vitamin tree. But what they've done is you get vitamins and then you get minerals. So that's a commercial thing. That's an economic thing. But you must be aware that in the bone marrow and in the blood, the basic building blocks for that human being has already been structured through birth. Therefore, you want to be careful in terms of taking in minerals without having your body being able to absorb them and break them down.
Absolutely.
That's why they're important.
I'm glad you pointed that out, Dr. Jamil, because you need the magnesium to go with the calcium, and there's always a combination. If you don't have it present, then you just have minerals sitting there.
And speaking for the school children, you have to realize that there was a thing called nutricide, as Dr. Lila Africa very well puts it, nutricide and genocide. And nutricide is the nutritional starvation of the inner city youth. Now, I blame parents for that, okay? Yes, we have, and we live in a system where it's a capitalistic system. So you have to be on your P's and Q's, because capitalism is about capital. It's not about saving the human being, okay? So let's make that distinction right now. parents in the black community must take full responsibility for the nutrition of their children. That needs to be priority number one. Instead of, and I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but instead of preaching Jesus in the church, they should be preaching nutrition. Because if you look at it, a lot of the nutricide, which leads into a starvation of the body, if your brain is not thinking, if your minerals are not balanced, you're going to have erratic and unpredictable behavior. That's why the jail cells are full. That's why our young people can't retain and listen and learn, because they are not absorbing. They're not absorbing because we as adults are not making sure that the diet is correct. Okay?
And you know something, Jabel,
let me ask this, because I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this. I don't care. The truth has to be told. If Jesus saved, why are we having this conversation?
And you have no beef with me about that. I know that we've got to take responsibility and leave Jesus out of some things. And I know people are going to say, what do you mean leave Jesus out? We got to have common sense for ourselves. In some of these so-called schools, they're feeding inferior lunches. And heaven forbid, over at the colleges, they're not feeding anything. So the college children are starved out, and they're eating nothing but empty calories.
Our children are being nutricized. Nutricide, another form of genocide, wasting away. The brain capacity and the potential to think and to absorb is not there. They're not even functioning on a 45% level. The rest of the world, in the Oriental world, they get the protein that they need because their culture feeds the protein that the brain needs. Okay, in the European society, they, first of all, nobody has enslaved the Europeans, so we don't have to go down that page. They have a balanced diet. You can look at your inner city, and I have to speak inner city because black people are very near and dear to me, and I must reprimand them, and I must reprimand the source of their authority, which is the black church. They need to begin to teach nutrition for the parents so they can teach their children. Don't wait and leave it up to a school system. You parents,
you're absolutely right. Let me also say that some of the programs, Purdue University has an extension program. They now have programs where parents can go into the home and teach nutrition. As a matter of fact, they offered me that job. It paid too low. However, it doesn't pay enough, but the kind of work you do is introduce recipes and menus of basic four foods and leave them with the products so they can prepare them themselves. We need many more programs like that. And, boy, if I had the time, I would love to even take on a group of parents where we're doing nothing but that, because in our universities, our children are literally starved and brain dead because they don't have these nourishment. And they're talking about care packages with these churches. They need to get over there and bring a whole Meals on Wheels and bring the food there, because we are allowing them to sit there starved out without a meal plan, and then they're feeding themselves on empty calories. So I want to say, Dr. Jamel, if you'll join us again tomorrow, we're going to continue on with this subject. However, we're all out of time, but not all out of love. And we want to thank Dr. Jamel and invite him back again. He's a regular on this show, and we will continue to have this segment on wellness and looking at how we can be mind, body, soul, and spirit. And the health awareness is what we're trying to do, make you aware of conditions. And today we talked about that term again. Dr. Jamel, can you give us that term, not genocide, but what?
Nutricide.
Nutricide. Put that in your memory bank for your new word for the language for today, the high-frequency word, nutricide. Our children in these universities are being starved to death, and our parents are starved to death, so we go out to fast food restaurant and feed them empty calories. They have no building blocks, so in essence, they don't have the essentials of life. We can make it happen. We can talk to parents. If you need to know more about how to balance your amino acids, your electrolytes, call into this show. We want to talk to you. We want to help you plan your meal. working in the area of preparing meals. That's all I do. I'm a master planner in preparing meals. I can help you in that area and show you how to take your few dollars and buy quality food. Call in tomorrow. We'll be back here at the same time talking about mind, body, soul, and spirit and what we can do to have health awareness. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you tomorrow. Right now, I got to do my disappearing act. Dr. Jamel, we want to thank you so much, and we will say Odabo to you, and we will see you tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to call Cal so I can do my disappearing act, and I hate to say goodbye, but I got to go. Bye-bye now.
It's DA.
It's DA, and I got to get out of here. I want to do my disappearing act.
Yeah. About to close, so tell me what's gonna happen. Am I going with you? How you coming with me? My girl's not around, and your man just set you free.
Baby, I'm your destination. You're my destiny.
Here in this room, and we're going to make our families balance under any circumstance and by any means necessary. And if it be inshallah, we're going to come at you every day with this topic until we can fix those homes that need a cosmetic facelift. Families, we love you, and that's why we're coming at you strong like this, because we want to become balanced and able families. And we want to also say that because of shows like this, you can come in here and you can bow on your knees and get your prayers heard. You can also get your souls fed. I want my soul fed. And we can also get our minds intrigued with critical thinking skills. So come into the Talking Care Room and go to the spiritual aspect. And also come in and listen to the Care to Read. As you notice, we are inserting a various different amount of poets and readings because we're a literacy room. We aim to close the gap of illiteracy. It is our desire, and if it be inshallah, we can help you if you allow us to. And if God creates a laborer and a harvest for you, why don't you be a laborer for someone else? And we will see you tomorrow, same time. And don't forget, we're going to have those attorneys here starting next week. Tomorrow we have a guest speaker that's going to be talking about expungement. How do you expunge your records when your records have been damaged from various different charges that you've been released from? How do you clean your record up? You definitely don't want to miss it. Tomorrow, Mr. Muhammad will be speaking on expungement. He is the specialist in this area. You don't want to miss it. Please come in and listen and lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. We'll see you here tomorrow at 9 o'clock p.m. Remember, our time has changed. We'll see you here for the ritual as we do our dedication to our ancestors. Please join us here tomorrow. Thank you so much. And I say, oh, double, baba booey to you, y'all. See you tomorrow. Hello? Hello?